Welcome to the Strategy Driven Podcast, Strategic Analysis Multidiscipline Teams. Hi, I'm Nathan Ives. Along with my co-host, Howard Dickens, we would like to welcome you to this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, Strategic Analysis Multidiscipline Teams. The Strategy Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve better results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag posts found on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. This podcast examines the best practice of employing a multidiscipline team during the performance of a strategic analysis, thereby applying the variety of knowledge and experience resources needed to understand and evaluate the complex, multidimensional situations associated with these types of assessments. And so now, without any further delay, let's get started. Hey, Howard, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing wonderful. Nathan, it's good to hear your voice. It's been a week too long since we've spoken.
Well, it has been, and I still appreciate our listeners giving us the opportunity to stabilize our lives a bit, mine in particular, with the new job, letting us kind of back down or draw down to a podcast every other week, though I'm hoping soon I'm going to get settled in, and then we'll get back to our weekly podcast, but we'll probably be every other week for a little while yet till things settle down. But
I believe that they appreciate us and you know, just keep them on their toes and, you know, really ready to receive what has to be said and so that they can go to the next level and becoming strategy driven. And I tell you, this is some really good stuff, especially tonight. This is really a good topic, Nathan.
Oh, yeah. I do like this topic, and you know, it fits in with not only the things that we've talked about before with strategic analysis, but it fits in with just so many other things that we haven't even yet gotten to, but we will in the future. And I'm thinking things like self-assessments and decision making. But multidiscipline just apply to so many areas that, you know, this topic is kind of universally good. It's got a lot of stuff, and I'm really thrilled that we're able to finally get to this one.
And well, I'm excited about the fact that we're continuing to focus on the people aspect of strategy and strategic analysis. And, you know, this the topic of this podcast, it really takes us in a little different direction, namely how we're going to focus on a group of people that we call a multidiscipline team.
Well, that's right, Howard. And while our listeners would find several references, as we just talked about, to multidiscipline teams on the Strategy Driven website, there are some differences between those teams that exist for self-assessments and decision-making and those that are comprised for strategic analysis teams. And so go ahead.
Okay, go ahead, please. I don't mean to interrupt you.
And we're going to get to that a little later on tonight, too.
Okay, good. Now, why don't we start out by defining for our listeners what we really mean by a multidiscipline team?
Oh, sure, Howard. Well, a multidiscipline team is really a group of individuals that collectively possess a full range of knowledge and experiences needed to perform a particular business function. We can define having enough knowledge and experience as occurring when the team possesses the background necessary to recognize significant beneficial or adverse performance drivers, and then being able to develop viable alternative solutions for the business problem that is presented to them.
Now, I can certainly understand why a strategic analysis would require a multidisciplined team, given the many complex business environments and interrelated organizational processes that have to be assessed. Now, you know, it would seem that without a multidisciplined team, an effective strategic analysis would not be possible, if for no other reason than it would be highly unlikely that a single individual could possess all of the knowledge needed to adequately evaluate these dynamic and interrelated business circumstances. And now, when I think about it, Nathan, it's been a while since we first introduced the process we call strategic analysis and a multitude of dimensions it covers. Do you think we should recap what these dimensions are to just to give our listeners a sense for the width and depth of knowledge and experience needed on the strategic analysis team?
Oh, sure, Howard. And so without going into a great level of detail, because I would really recommend that our listeners who haven't done so already or who maybe would just like to have a refresher would to go back and listen again or for the first time the strategy-driven podcast titled Introduction to Strategic Analysis. But let me go ahead and define the key components of a strategic analysis, which we talk about in more depth in that podcast. And in this case, there are five of them. The first one is a strategic posture and performance analysis. Number two is internal capabilities assessment. The third area is external environment assessment. Number four is analysis of strategic factors. And the fifth area that comprises a strategic analysis is a strategic alternatives and recommended actions development. Now, to effectively execute each of these components of a strategic analysis, the multidiscipline team needs to collectively possess knowledge and experience in quite a broad range of areas, and including when we think about the internal organizational factors, they should have knowledge of such things as organizational structure, and that is to say they should be able to understand the organization and reporting of relationships and its interactions with each other, whether that be a functional organization type, a matrix, a divisional, or networked, and then be able to examine it for its effectiveness, given the type of business the organization is conducting. The next knowledge and experience area the team has to possess is that of the corporate resources. And that's to say they have to be able to do an evaluation of the company's functional and cross-functional operational effectiveness. And that'll be in a broad variety of areas, including operations and logistics, research and development, information and support systems, human resources, marketing, finance, just a broad range. You have all those functional kind of areas that make up the organization. The last item we would suggest that they have knowledge resources in for the internal examination is that of culture. Because we're going to need to examine the corporate culture. And in this case, we want to do an assessment of the impact the organization's commonly held values, beliefs, and traditions have on its business operations and its sales and marketing. So we have to have an understanding of kind of the personality of the organization and be in touch with that and how it influences how we do work. When we get into the external business environmental factors that we talked about, we need to be able to examine the environment in two different ways. And first is a societal environment assessment, and that's really an awareness and a knowledge of the political legal environment, the sociocultural, which is to say, the values and beliefs of the larger region that we operate in, which might be as small as a town in some cases. It could be, if we're a multinational company, it could be many different countries and those markets and the values of the people that live there. Mm-hmm. It's also the technological forces that, impact the business operations. And in this case, with the explosion of the web and what's often called Web 2.0, things like wikis and knowledge sharing on Wikipedia and blogs and all those sorts of things that impact our business operations and influence how people communicate and come to know our business and interact mm-hmm. with our business.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So then there's mm-hmm. the task environment. And these are probably some of the more firm things that are more easily measured and counted. So, but we need to have firm understanding of these items. And here I'm thinking of things like our competitors, the threat to entry of new competitors, substitute products. So if I'm selling soda, well, water is a substitute product, bottled water specifically. We want to think of the bargaining power of our buyers and our suppliers and the mm-hmm. power of labor unions, government, and special interest groups. Mm-hmm. And so not only do we have to have a knowledge of these internal environmental factors and the external environmental factors, but then kind of enveloping all of those is our team needs to possess a knowledge and experience in synthesizing data together, because we have to be able to bring all of that collective knowledge we have on all these different things together to develop conclusions and then recommend viable actions for the business to go forward. So that kind of sums up not only strategic analysis, but a broad look at the knowledge resources that the team would have to possess.
Wow, Nathan, that's some summation right there. Now, strategic analysis certainly does cover a broad range of topics, and Nathan, it would seem to me that when an organization is assembling a strategic analysis team, that these areas should be considered, and the team's overall knowledge and experience should be assessed to ensure that it covers all of these areas.
Well, and that's absolutely right, Howard. And in fact, we would recommend that the leader of a strategic analysis should go through a four-step process to form the multidiscipline team needed to do the strategic analysis.
Okay.
Okay. So step one, the leader has to assess the knowledge needs to actually perform the evaluation. And as we just highlighted, those needs for a strategic analysis are very substantial. They cover such a broad range of topics and of areas. Second, the team's leader needs to have a clear understanding of the knowledge and experience, strengths and weaknesses of each of the team members, and then has to be able to, in aggregate, assess the team's background against the knowledge and experience requirements we defined in step one to identify any gaps that might exist.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. The third step is really an iterative step. So we're going to go through this over and over again. And with the gaps identified in step two, now we have to consider bringing in people, adding them to our team to close those gaps. Maybe by bringing some folks into the team to close the gap, they bring enough knowledge and experience that we can release other team members back to the organization. So we continue to maximize the organization's value by limiting the total number we have on our team. We don't want to have a lot of excess folks, and we'll talk about that a little later on in the podcast as why. So we're going to do this over and over again until we we get to an optimal mix of folks on the team that, while we hold the team size to a minimum, we at the same time have an adequate coverage of all the knowledge and experience areas, again, that being very substantial for a strategic analysis.
Hmm.
In step four, we're going to do step four all through the strategic analysis, and that is, in an ongoing way, the team leader has to continue to assess the knowledge requirements and the knowledge inventory of the team to make sure that if a gap does appear during the strategic analysis, in other words, we uncover maybe an area that needs further exploration,
mm-hmm.
that we have the adequate knowledge resources on the team to continue to cover those areas. And that might mean that, again, we need to bring on more knowledge resources, or if we find, on the flip side of that coin, that we have knowledge resources that we don't need anymore, we can release people back to the organization.
Hmm.
So I guess just to recap, step one is to assess the knowledge needs to perform the strategic analysis. Step two would be to assess the knowledge and experience inventory of our initial strategic analysis team. Step three is to perform an iterative evaluation to close the knowledge and experience gaps in an effort to minimize team size, but to adequately cover the knowledge and experience needs of the assessment. And then step four is ongoing throughout the process of performing the strategic analysis to continue to evaluate knowledge need versus knowledge inventory, and to close any gaps or to release any excess team members as appropriate during the performance of the strategic analysis.
Hmm. It's interesting, Nathan. You know, we said earlier that the multidiscipline team engaged to perform a strategic analysis differed from those that performed self-assessment and decision-making. Could you just highlight what the differences are between these teams?
Well, Howard, the fundamental reason for a difference between the multidiscipline teams that are used in a strategic analysis and those that are used for either a self-assessment or in decision-making is really reflective of the scope of each of these items involved.
Okay.
A strategic analysis, by its very nature, is extremely broad, and it covers just a multitude of dynamic and interrelated internal business processes, as well as our very complex and rapidly changing external business environment. Now, in contrast, a self-assessment and even complex decision-making tends to be much more narrowly focused. We tend to focus our attention on a very pointed, very specific item. So as such, when we define the amount of knowledge and experience needed for a strategic analysis, we see that there's a lot of broad and deep knowledge and experience needed. When we look at the knowledge and experience needed for a self-assessment or decision-making, it tends to be more narrow and deep. And so subsequently, the difference in the teams really becomes one of size. Self-assessment and decision-making teams tend to be smaller because, again, they don't have the same breadth of knowledge resources. And the strategic analysis teams tend to be much larger because they have a broader range of areas they have to cover.
That's really interesting. Now, does this, can this larger team size then cause the leader of a strategic analysis any difficulties?
Oh, I believe it can, Howard. And this is really goes back to why in our four-step process, we talked about minimizing team size. The difficulty in leading any group, and in particular, one that is collating and consolidating creative efforts, it really becomes increasingly difficult, almost exponentially so, as team size grows.
Okay,
so in essence, a strategic analysis is really likely to require a much more seasoned and experienced leader. So someone who is experienced in managing a large group of knowledge workers than would, say, a self-assessment where someone might be able to be more more focused or just less experienced in managing those larger teams. And it gets down to the concept of managing a knowledge worker, managing something that is creative, very unscript, as it were, and the associated difficulties that kind of explode as the team size gets bigger.
Woo! Outstanding, Nathan. Now, you know, I really always try to take good notes. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know
now,
you
always... Let's see how I did this time, okay? You may need to help me out. You may need to help me out on this one because this was really so insightful, and there's some things that really, really, really stayed on my mind here. And I may have, I want to make sure that I got it all down here. Now, we said that today's business operates in complex, multidimensional environments. And often execute highly dynamic and interrelated processes, and that evaluating these circumstances collectively requires a breadth or I could say width and depth of knowledge not likely to be possessed by a single individual.
That's right.
Therefore, we concluded that in order to apply the range of knowledge and experience necessary to perform a comprehensive strategic analysis required the use of a multidisciplinary team. Now, we then went on to say that a multidisciplinary team possessed sufficient knowledge and experience when the team members were able to collectively assess business opportunities and risk and then form viable recommendations to the business challenge. Work challenges presented to them.
That's correct.
Now, we also stated that the breadth of a strategic analysis necessitated the use of a larger multidisciplined team than that typically engaged in a more narrowly focused self-assessments or decision-making process. And that this circumstance subsequently requires a higher level of leadership ability in order to synthesize the findings and insights of the larger strategic analysis team into a meaningful findings and viable recommendations. Now, there's this four step-by-step prescription for how to form a multidisciplinary team, and I'd like you to recap that. So I want to. I'll be taking some notes here again on that.
Okay. Well, Howard, the first step we said was to define the knowledge needs to perform the strategic analysis. Step two, we said then that the leader needed to have a clear understanding of the knowledge and experience inventory of the team members that were to comprise the strategic analysis team.
Okay.
The third step we said was an iterative one, and that was where when we compared the knowledge need from step one and the knowledge inventory from step two, that in step three we were to close any gaps, or in the case where we had an excess of knowledge resource, we would release any excess team members back to their normal positions within the organization. Step four was the ongoing step, and that was throughout the process of executing the strategic analysis, we would seek to identify any forming knowledge and experience gaps, and then fill those as needed with other resources from the organization. Or, conversely, as we found that we had excess knowledge because we completed a section, or we just found that we had knowledge and experience of folks that just the area didn't materialize, that those folks could be released back to the organization. So that's our four-step process.
Got it. And I'm sure our listeners got it too.
Well, this has been good, Howard.
It has been good. It has been good.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. We would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. Note that additional information regarding strategic analysis is contained within the Strategic Analysis White Paper, accessible by registered members on the Strategy Driven website. Registered members also gain access to the many Strategy Driven White Papers, models, and members-only categories, and registration is always free. Until next time, so long.